Well, it's a privilege for me to come and share God's word with you. As you have heard the pastor say, how we'll be using your monies for the help of the relief for the people of India who've been hit by the tsunami. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your generosity, for your love and concern. And you'll be well assured that it will be used for God's glory and we'll be good stewards of the money that has been given to us. And so pray for us as we venture out into these different projects that God will enable us to use it. And that the most important thing is not only the physical aspect of these individuals, but the spiritual aspect of them, which is their salvation. And that's something that we always are looking forward to, is to win as many for the Lord Jesus Christ as possible. Through these ministries, we'll be able to reach out to people that have not heard the gospel for the first time. They'll be hearing when we go out there and try to help out. My brother has been to these devastated areas. He has explained to me how devastating it was, how some of them have lost everything. So pray for some of these people. Some of the children are orphans. However, at this present time, the government is in control of most of the orphans because of the problems that they have faced in the past where children have been traded. And so we have to wait for a while till we get everything settled, and then we'll be able to get some of the children into these orphans when they open it up to the, what we call as the non-governmental organizations, the Christian organizations, that would be able to reach these young kids for the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, they had a service on that night when they visited and distributed some of the distributed clean drinking bottled water to these people, as well as all their blankets and clothing, with some of the money that has been already sent. They had a meeting that night in that village, fishing village, and 40 people stood up and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great blessing to see that these people have trusted the Lord. They have started a Bible study program with these young people that have come to know the Lord. We'll be sending 100 Tamil Bibles to them. So continue to pray that these ministries will set out, get out going, and that we'll be able to win others for the cause of Christ. As you know, India is a population of 1 billion people. And 80% of India, of the population, is Hindus. Who have many, many millions of gods and goddesses. Their salvation is attained by good works. So we have a great work for us to do. 12% of our population is Islam. And then the remainder of the population who comes with other religions as Zoroastrianism, Buddhism, Jainism, and other religions. Roman Catholicism and Protestantism comes 2.5%. Out of that, Bible-believing Christians are less than 0.5%. So we have a big work. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we want to train young laborers to go into the harvest fields, that we need to get the gospel out to win people for Christ. And that's the vision that we have in India. That's the vision my father has had all these years. And it's a privilege for me to go back to work. I worked 6 months in the United States for myself, to support myself when I'm in India. And 6 months I'm there doing the ministry at the Berean Baptist Bible College. Do continue to pray for the college, that God will continue to bless as we train. As I go back, I'm going back for the graduation. We'll have 220 students graduating this year from the Bible College. We have had enrollment over 700 students. So pray that God will continue to use this ministry. I'd also request you to pray for one of our great needs at the Bible College, is a dining hall and a dormitory space and a kitchen for our boys. We don't have a dining hall or a kitchen, or that we don't have enough dormitory space. So pray for this need that God will enable us to get. That's one of my jobs in the United States and places I go, is to raise funds for this dining hall. God has been gracious. God has brought in some of the monies, but we have a long ways to go. I think the cost in U.S. dollars was $500,000, which might be around £350,000 for you. But the Lord has brought in at least $120,000 for the building so far. We're able to do the basement and the building for a portion is done.
So we'd like to get the two floors at least by the end of this year, so we have a dining hall and kitchen. So please pray for this need, so that we can train young people. You know, we have to get the gospel out. And with 1 billion people, we need to train more young people. With this facility, we'll be able to at least train close to 1,000 students a year. Take in 1,000 and train them and send them out to reach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for our orphanages that we have already, that God will continue to bless. It's a great blessing to help some of these children. And through these orphanages, we have one of our students, kids from the orphanage come in and enroll in the Bible college to be trained in the ministry. So it's a great opportunity to win young people for Christ. So pray for this ministry. Pray for our printing ministry that we have. We'd like to print free Bibles for people distribute in their vernacular languages, and so that they can have the Word of God. Some of them don't have, it's difficult to get Scripture, so we'd like to be part of that so that we'll be able to get. We have to raise money for that paper, so pray for us as we go out, venture into all these new avenues of printing and getting the gospel out to the Lord, gospel out to the people, to do print literature, gospel literature and tracts, so we can distribute in the land of India. We have a great ministry in the jails, and pray for the jail ministry. It's a great avenue and great opportunity to win people to Christ. Many prisoners have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a blessing, because I've shared this in many churches, that through the ministry of the jails, we are able to go into villages that we did not know. And last year I had an opportunity to go and set up a medical clinic, which was a great opportunity for me. Through the ministry of the jail, we were able to get access to a village where one of our jail persons got saved, and he wanted us to get the truth. He wanted to get the gospel to his people. So he called his elders of the village. We met with them, and they said we could come and distribute literature and preach and evangelize that village. We were able to go and distribute the Gospel of John, Book of Romans, to almost all the houses, 2,000 houses in that village through this ministry. So pray that God will end. And while we were giving out tracts, we met another individual from another village. He listened to the gospel. He said, "Why don't you come and do that in our village?" So we had two villages open up within a matter of a few hours. And so we did go there. We had a medical clinic in there. What a great blessing it was for me to not only treat the physical needs of the people, but also the spiritual aspect. And that during that medical clinic that day, we had one lady come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a great avenue to reach people for Christ. So pray for us as we continue to labor in India, as God blesses us, that we'll be able to get the gospel out to different parts of India. We have works in Nepal, have an orphanage there also, and church planting ministry in Nepal, as well as in Myanmar or Burma. We do have church planting ministry and pastors that we support. So continue to pray for these ministries and these outreach programs that we have, that God will enable us to go and win people for Christ. And that's our goal, that's our mission, and that's our command, going into all the world to preach the gospel. So pray for us. And I would also thank you for praying for my father, who feels a little bit better now. He was ill for a couple of months, but God has raised him up, and I thank you for your prayers. He gives his regards. He loves Ireland, and he has a lot of good things to say about Northern Ireland and the churches here. And so I just want to give you his regards, and we'll continue to pray for him, that God would strengthen him, so that, you know, he's a hard-headed man. He doesn't like to slow down. You know, the doctors keep telling him to slow down. I tell him to slow down, but he just wants to keep preaching. So pray that God will strengthen him and give him some wisdom and sense in his head, that he could slow down a little bit if he wants to live longer. That's what I tell him. But he wants to continue in the ministry, and it's a great joy to see him continue serving the Lord. So pray for us in India, that God will continue to use us there. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 4. And if you have any questions about the tsunami or anything else, feel free to ask me after the service. I'll be happy to answer any questions. All right, Romans chapter 4. This morning I'd like to speak on the subject, the steps of Abraham's faith. The steps of Abraham's faith. And let's look at it and see what the steps he took in his walk of faith. And Abraham was the one that God has called out, and how God has used him mightily, and that we can still learn from some of the things that he did when God called him out. So I'd just like to read a few verses from verses 10 on down of Romans chapter 4, verses 10 to 12 we will read. How was he then reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet, being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them all that believe through them, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can study your word, Lord, and we can learn from great men of God and in the scriptures that you have given to us for our learning. Maybe your God see his faith, and maybe your God be encouraged this morning to follow his steps, so that we would also be encouraged to walk by faith, and that we will stand before you one day knowing that we walk by faith and get that commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So bless this time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you notice here the theme of this chapter was in reference to Abraham and David being justified by faith. And this is a great section of the passage of scripture of justification by faith. And we have seen the doctrine, and now Paul vividly states that a man is sinner, and only way we can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our faith in him. Yes, I'm from a real country that has millions of gods and goddesses, and the religion teaches unless you do good works, you cannot attain salvation. But here we notice that good works will not get us to heaven, but putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Abraham did. He had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is revealed that God provides the righteousness for the sinner, and justification by faith is explained. So Paul illustrates this, and he talks about both Abraham and David. Two great men in the Old Testament that we can really read and study and understand what great men they were. And many times I enjoy reading the life of Abraham, because Abraham, in all that idolatry, in all that area that he was a wealthy man, he never worshipped idols, and that God took a specific interest in one individual and pointed and said, Abraham, come out from the Ur of the Chaldees. I got a place for you to go. And it shows me that God is very involved in each individual of us. That God is looking out for each one of us, and that he has a specific plan for each one of us. And when we yield ourselves to God and walk in the steps that God has ordered for us to walk, what a blessing that will be to see how God will work through our lives. And that's what Abraham's life tells me about. And I just love to hear, you know, Abraham was the founder of the Hebrew race. And we have to walk in the steps of the faith of our fathers, Abraham. And we sing that song, Faith of Our Fathers, Holy Faith. And so we can follow some of the steps he took. The first step he took, I want to tell you, is leaving all for God. That was the first step he did, leaving all for God. That's what Abraham did. If you turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12, we'll see there how God calls Abraham, Genesis 12, in verse 1 on, he says, And now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. You notice that Abraham left everything for God. He left everything on God. My friends, if you notice, the God call of Abraham was important. There he was in the land or of the Chaldees, and God said, come out of those idols. Come, I have a place for you. I will bless you. I'll make you a great man. And you notice, Abraham leaves everything. I think it's very difficult for us as individuals. When God calls us to leave your family and your friends behind. I remember the first time my father said, you're going to the United States to study. I looked at myself. I said, for what? I have my friends. Yeah, I have my family. I have to leave all this and go there. There's fear. There's apprehension. And you don't know of the unknowns. I mean, nowadays, at least you can sit on the television and get on the internet and you find out everything about a place, don't you? We can sit and you can sit, if you want to go to Bangalore, you can sit there, go onto the internet, click Bangalore, and it'll tell you all the things, all the sites you can see, all the shopping you can do, all the places of interest you can have, and what type of climate there is, and what type of clothing you can wear, and what you have to be aware of, what sicknesses are prevalent. Everything is on the internet, you can find out. But Abraham didn't have any of that, did he? All he had to do was hurt. Trust God. He just had to trust God. But you notice what Abraham did. You know, Abraham's call was for God just called Abraham. But what did Abraham do? He took somebody with him. He took his father and his nephew with him. And this is what we call incomplete obedience. He took his father and his Lot, his brother's son. And so now he had to spend some time in Haran. My friend, it was a period just as a marking time and delaying God's blessing. He was distracted for what God had called him to do. And many a times when God calls us to do something for us or he has a plan for us, we yield ourselves, but we do not obey God completely. We try to help God sometimes, thinking we are going to help God. God doesn't need our help. You know, but Abraham, if he had just trusted God and gone just with his wife, I think he would have had the blessings of God. But he had to wait in Haran till his father died. And then he says, okay, now we have to pick up and go again. Sometimes that's what we do in our Christian life. We do not obey God completely. We have some incomplete obedience to God and we miss the blessings of God. I think Abraham missed some blessings. So now he says, okay, let me move. And there you notice here, Abraham was our first pilgrim father, right? He was our first pilgrim father. Because why? He dwelt in tents. And then he was what? And then he went from place to place. He never had a place to call his own till he got into the promised land. My friends, today we are pilgrims through this land. We have no home, but how many of us Christians are setting up a home on this earth, trying to make ourselves comfortable, trying to say, well, let's care for about ourselves, let's make sure our future is secure. Is this your place, or is your place somewhere else? Abraham lived in a tent. He dwelt in a tent. And even Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:1, we are strangers and pilgrims. And to disdain from fleshly lust, that's what we have to do. We have to remember that we are just pilgrims in this land. And this is not our home. Our home is up in heaven. And that's where we should be preparing for. That's what we should be serving God and preparing a place where we stand before God, where God has prepared for us a place. That's where we will spend all eternity with our God. And that's what it was. And you notice here what Abraham, when he traveled, he only had three things with him. You know the three things that Abraham had? He had three things, and that's all he took with him everywhere he went. And that was that's the best things that he had that could go with him. Number one, he had the tent. Number two, he had the altar. Number three, he had the promises of God. That's all he had. Nothing else. You know, he didn't have, like us, we have today, GPS systems in your cars. I've not seen much in Ireland, but in the United States, now all the new cars, you can just put them into them. You know, and you just plug in where you want to go, it'll tell you. And you keep going all half the way, it'll tell you there is road construction, take alternate routes. You know, everything is set. But Abraham, he never had any of that, did he? All he had to do was what? Trust his God. God was going to lead him to that desert land where there's nothing there. But you know, when you look at the television today and see what Iraq and all that, well, they have houses now, but I think in Abraham's time it was nothing but desert there. But God was willing to take him to the promised land, to all that region. And what a faith Abraham must have had. And the altar means sacrifice, self-denial, and self-surrender. And that's what the altar and the tent must go together. We must self-surrender ourselves to God. We need to deny ourselves. We need to sacrifice to our God. And that's what Abraham did. He was willing to sacrifice all that he had for God. And then he was willing to follow his God. My friends, we cannot live a detached tent life without some amount of pain and suffering, such as the altar bespeaks of. But it's not out of such a life that there springs the most intense devotion and deepest fellowship and the happiest communion with our God. It is the most difficult times that we realize to wait upon God. It's through those trials, it's through the catastrophes, it's through distress, it's through loss of loved ones that we begin to seek God and come into a closer communion with God and wait upon God. And when the times are good and things are going smooth and the ship is sailing smooth on the rough seas, what do you say? We forget God. But only when the storms of life come, then we quickly turn to God. And you see that in the lives of the disciples when they're going on the stormy sea. Oh, my friends, what a picture that is, that they even have Christ in that boat, but they forgot He's there. And then as the storm brews bad and their ship is almost ready to sink, they go to the master and wake him and say, "Carest thou not? Fearest thou we perish?" But oh, how quickly they learned. With the master in the ship, you're never going to sink. All he had to do was to speak to the waves and the winds, and they obeyed his voice. What a Savior we have. My friends, our Savior, is He in your ship today, traveling with you? And if He is, then you don't have to worry that your ship will sink when the Master is with you. Abraham knew that. He had the greatest communion. My friends, he obeyed the promises of God. Obey and live up to the claims of God, and successive promises beams out from heaven right to your steps. And that's what we see in Abraham's life. We have to fulfill God's conditions, and we have to live up to His demands, and it will be literally a glorious life. When we live up to God's demands and we give up everything, then we can understand the blessings of God. But sometimes we demand God to do something for us, but we need to wait upon God and let Him work His will out in our lives. Number two, the second step he took was leaving all with God. He was leaving all with God. And that's what we see in Genesis chapter 13, 9 and 14. He left everything with God. He hands everything to God. And that's what I want you to see, how he gives everything to God. It doesn't matter. For Abraham, he was willing to give up everything for his Savior. Friends, are we willing to give up everything for our Savior today? If God has called you to a mission field, are you willing to go? If God has called you from a lucrative job and wants you to serve Him in some part of this land, are you willing to give it? Or are you saying, "Well, I don't know about it"? And you notice here Abraham was willing to give everything to God. And if you notice in Genesis chapter 13, Abraham and Lot have some trouble with their flocks. So now Abraham tells the Lord, there was a strife, and Abraham said unto Lot in verse 8, and Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And in verse 14 you see, the Lord said unto Abram, after the Lord was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give, and to thy seed forever. He was willing to give everything up. And you notice here, God chose the inheritance for Abraham. Lord chose his inheritance. But God chose Abraham's inheritance. And you see what happened when Lord chose his inheritance. What happened to Lord? And we know the story. We don't have much time to go into it. But you know, Lord looked at the plains of Jordan. He saw how good it was. And how he felt that the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. He looked at it. But where he was going to a place of ruin. And you know, that's what happens when we make choices with our lust, with our sinful eye, and when we look at things and we covet those things, my friends, we're going to pay a price. Lot paid a big price. He didn't worry. He saw the good of the land. That's all he did. He did not see God's will. He never prayed about anything. But Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was a man of God. He just said, okay, Lord, go ahead, take your way. But God showed him the land. And he said, Abraham, see the north, see to the south, see to the east, see to the west. All that thou seest I give. God chose the land for Abraham. My friends, that's what he did. If it's better for us to keep our eyes steadfastly on the Lord, my friend, God will do better for those who trust Him than they could do for themselves. When we trust God, He does it much better than we could for ourselves. Many of us think we are doing the best, but we may be doing it in our own strength. And then when failure comes, we're disappointed, discouraged. But here you notice, Abraham looked. He kept his eyes steadfast. And he kept it upon God. May we today keep our eyes and our minds focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. May He choose our inheritance. May He choose the things that we do in this life. May He have everything. Let's commit everything to God this morning. Let's not keep anything back. Let's give Him our lives totally to Him. Let us yield ourselves totally to God. And see what God can do. For you and me. That's what Abraham did. My friends, if you notice, God's promises are always on an ascending scale. His promises are always, as we are faithful in little things, God will give us more and more and more. Many of us are not enjoying those promises because we're not faithful in the little things of this life. May we learn to be faithful, always keep in hand. Always remember that God keeps in hand an infinite reserves of His blessings. That's what He does. He's got a lot of blessings to give out. But are we willing to give everything to Him? Are we willing? The psalmist says, commit thyself unto the Lord. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. That means to give everything to Him. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. That's what the psalmist says. Are we committed everything to God this morning? Have we given everything to Him? Do we wholly trust in God? Or do we trust in the arm of flesh? Because it is a man that's trusted in the arm of flesh. That's what the Bible says. But do we trust our Savior
Abraham trusted God, and see how God used Abraham
and how he led him without any difficulties. Yes, even when Abraham had a failure, he needed the forgiveness of God, and God intervened when Abraham made a mistake, didn't he? He left the land when there was famine in the land. He left that place and went into Egypt. How many times we will go back to the world when we see some difficulties? How many times we backslide in our Christian life? Oh, may we not go to Egypt, but may we come to the Savior. He's there ready to save and to restore us back to His fellowship, and so we can enjoy the blessings of our Savior. As what happened to Abraham, God had to correct him and bring him back where he should belong, to the promised land. The next thing I want you to know, the third step is finding all in God. We find everything in God. In today's society, we know it's a society of self. And the world will tell you where else you can find happiness and solitude. But my friend, the world cannot give you peace. The world cannot solve your problems. The world cannot take away that pain. The world cannot take away the things that are bothering you today. But if you come to the Savior, you're going to find peace. You come to the Savior, you're going to find comfort. He's the one that comforts our hearts. Though we may lose our loved ones and we sorrow, but God is the God of all comfort. We can come to Him. Yes, I bet Abraham had to bury his father in that land. He had lost his father, but God was comforting Abraham. He had to leave that place and continue to the promised land. He's a God of comfort, solid comfort and assurance we find in God when we obey and do His will. He's a God of comfort when we do, finding all in God. He's a God whom we can trust. And when we trust God and His care, then our lives is a charmed life, Christian. God's life ways are best. His ways are the best. Notice what happened to Abraham. He let God choose his inheritance. And while God blessed Abraham, he was one of the most wealthiest kings around, a man around. Even the kings could not match his wealth. And when those kings came and he fought and brought Lot back, the kings came and said, "You take the booty that you have gotten." And Abraham said, "I don't want even the shoe, latchet of your shoe, lest you say that you made me rich." Why? Because God made him rich. God selected his inheritance, and he wanted to give God the glory and not to the world. He knew where his blessings came from. He knew, my friends, when we do God's will and trust Him, our life is a charmed life. The next thing I want you to notice is God's, when we find everything in God, is His divine environment and protection that is around us. Psalm 91. What a great psalm that is. Psalm 91. And as we read that passage of Scripture, and we can read from verses 1 down to 9. I'll read. I love this passage of Scripture. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." My friends, what a protection we have in our Savior.
I think how you notice that Abraham went through that desert land. There could have been many robbers. There could have been a lot of things that could have affected Abraham through his journey into the promised land. But my friends, you notice that God protected Abraham throughout his journey.
You know, many of times people ask me, when they're coming to India, oh, do we have to take this kind of medication, that thing, to prevent us and all those things? Sometimes I think about it and I just laugh to myself. I said, where do you really trust yourself? Do you trust in God or yourself? Oh, if God has called you to come to a mission field, don't you think God will take care of you? Maybe we have to be prudent and take care of the provisions that God has given, but do we really trust in medicine today, put all our faith in medicine, or do we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ first?
Abraham had nothing. He didn't have anything around him. He didn't even have a physician to go with him, did he? But God was with him. He was the one. No pestilence came too close to him. He walked by night. No, he walked by day. There was no arrow, nothing that came by his side. But he was able to defeat all his enemies, didn't he? He was able to defeat those five kings. Why? Because the Lord was his refuge. The Lord was his strength. The Lord was his commander of his life. When we do the same thing, my friends, you see the hand of God, how he protects us. You see, you also notice God's provision for Abraham. God provided everything he needed. He didn't lack anything. I don't think he was a malnourished person, was he? I don't think so. His cattle had enough to graze. He had more cattle than anything else. That's why they had to split Lot and him. His herdmen and their herdsmen were fighting. God was blessing in spite of all the environmental conditions that they had. God blessed Abraham. Why? Because of his faith. He trusted God. He found everything in God. Also, the next thing I want you to notice, he found the forgiveness in God. Yes, even though he did something wrong in staying in the place where God wanted him, he disobeyed God. And he almost got in trouble in Egypt. And when he returned, God forgave him. He was restored back. And this is the same thing we can say about David. David found forgiveness. Yes, he committed murder. He committed adultery. He did everything. And then when Nathan came and told him that he was a man that did this wild thing, David went and wept bitterly. And then he was restored back to God. Many of us this morning might be in that situation or not. But if you're running away from God, if you've rebelled, if you've sinned against God, and you have broken fellowship with God, Christian, I urge you to come back to our Savior. He's a forgiving God. He will cleanse us from all sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins. Just come to the Savior, and He's willing. You find salvation in our God. He made that salvation for us. Yes, my friends, that's why he went to that tree. That's why he was hung on that cross and shed that precious blood so that you and I can have that forgiveness and that salvation that we need today. And that's what Abraham found. Everything in God. We can find everything in God when we yield ourselves to God. The last step of Abraham's faith was yielding all to God. He was willing to yield all to God. Abraham never doubted God, I think. Yes, he trusted God completely. He yielded everything to God. And that's what I can tell you. He believed God. Why? Because you look in Genesis chapter 22. You know, it's a great passage of scripture here. Now Abraham waited almost 100 years to have a son. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes to him and he says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son, Isaac, to me. Oh, what a pain, what an agony that Abraham must have gone when God asked him that. And the night before he has to journey to Mount Moriah to offer his son, I can see the thoughts going into Abraham's mind. She says, God has given me this only son, and now he wants me to sacrifice him. How many of us are willing to give, do that kind of a sacrifice? But here you notice, Abraham believed God and yielded to God. That morning he got his servants ready. He got his son ready. And there he is riding now as they walk. And the journey passed. I can believe, I'm sure, Abraham was burdened in his heart. His heart was heavy. And there they walk and walk. And they come to the point where they have to leave the servants behind. And in verse chapter 23 and verse Genesis 22 and verse 3 says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? My friends, you can just see the pain in Abraham's voice. He says, Father, we got everything, but where is the lamb? And Abraham knew that his son was going to be the lamb. What a pain, but he was willing to do it because he was yielded to God. And there you see Abraham's voice. I think it was quivering. It was sad. It was weeping in his heart, he says. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Just picture this scene as they come to that top of that hill, that mount. And now Abraham is ready to do the ultimate sacrifice, to give his son, his only son. What a picture of what was going to happen a few thousand years later. That will happen for the same scene we can see on Mount Calvary. Yes, my friends, there he's all tied up. And his hands are laid. His hands are tied. And now he lifts up his son and puts him on that sacred altar to sacrifice him. And as he lifts the knife to slash him down, there he hears a voice from heaven saying, Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. And the angel of the Lord called out unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. You see, God intervened immediately. But my friend, God spared Abraham's son, but God the Father never spared his only son for you and for me. And on that day when they led him up to Calvary's mountain and laid him on that cross, and all the sin of mankind was laid upon him, and there he hung on that cross for you and for me, and God put all the judgment on him, and he bore it for you and for me, and then and finally he said, it is finished. The price for sin was paid. Salvation is complete. I've done it. That is what our Savior did for you and for me. What a picture of Abraham and his son. And then when we come into the New Testament, you see the Son, finally, the Lamb of God, being slain for us, Christian. Have we yielded ourselves to God. Having given ourselves totally to Him, Abraham was willing to do the ultimate sacrifice. The son that he longed for, the promised one, he waited all these years. And God said, I want him for a sacrifice. Are you willing? And Abraham was willing. Why? Because he was yielded to God. He was willing to give this sacrifice to God because he loved his Savior. How do we have that kind of a love this morning for him? What a picture. My friends, faith always leads to action. When we have faith, we have to have action. Abraham had faith, and that showed it. He was willing. He was yielded to God. My friend, this afternoon I ask you, yield yourself to God. Yield yourself to God in His service. Have a new attitude when you serve God. Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what? That He presents your bodies, what? Not a dead sacrifice, but what? A living sacrifice unto God. Are we willing to sacrifice ourselves to God so that He can use us, mold us, so that this life will be dead to sin and alive unto God, so that He can use us for His glory? Let us follow in the steps of the faith of Abraham, yielding ourselves to God, doing His will, and enjoying and receiving the blessings of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the steps of Abraham. God, what a great man he was. He was willing to do the ultimate sacrifice, giving his life, his son, for You. But what a great picture it is that You spared His son, but You did not spare Your only son for us. Maybe Your God go from this place renewed, encouraged to walk in the steps of our fathers in faith, and let our faith be in action so that the world can see what a Savior we have and that they will glorify You. So bless this word to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.